Welcome to the Clam Jammers Podcast, the semi-erotic podcast exploring the strange world of smut and kitsch in all its forms. Welcome to the world of Shore, Miri, and put upon Penguin Crabsworth as they play, chat, and laugh their way through all of life's intimate topics. Come for the sex, stay for the weird.
Hello, everyone. It is at time of recording and time of posting International Women's Day.
Woo!
Yeah, and as Shore said, get ready to get pissed off.
It's true. This is not going to be one of the more fun, lighthearted episodes.
But if you want a lighthearted episode, since we moved over to Spotify for podcasters, our highest rated episode is That's Not My Ass. So if you want something lighter after hearing this one, may I recommend That's Not My Ass for you?
That's Not My Ass for you.
Yeah. Oh my god, title of my autobiography. But yeah, it's a serious topic. We're doing an update on what has happened since Roe v. Wade. The update on the Canada side is a bunch of Canadians don't understand that we're not in the States and there is no Roe v. Wade to quote. So the pro-lifers here have gotten very angry but are not arguing appropriately for this country, but I do think it's important to note that what goes on in the United States does have ramifications internationally.
Oh,
and, yeah. And it's interesting to see. What I do know about since Roe v. Wade being overturned is there's definitely a lot of states either taking advantage of it or trying to solidify abortion rights individually. But that's kind of all I know. So that's my brief update there, Shore. Because well, I know you have a big one.
I've got my purple legal pad filled with sad things.
Oh, no, not the sad things on the purple legal pad.
It's funny because I didn't tear out the stuff from previous episodes. So there's all like shenanigans, sexy stuff, funny things, and then just this.
The sad section.
Yeah. So essentially that's what happened is by Roe v. Wade being overturned, it just meant that the states get to decide themselves how they're going to handle abortion. There's no federal protection. So like California and Minnesota, for example, they have solidified their abortion rights. You can still get one. It's easy access and all of that. Obviously there's the other issues of medical care being expensive and things like that. That still needs to be rectified if it ever will be in the states. But, there are certainly states that are protecting rights, and in those states, probably not much of a difference in your day-to-day, access to abortion. However, that doesn't mean that they're not pushing for it to be harder. So that comes to the first thing I wanted to discuss, which is this has not happened yet, but there is currently a push from a right-wing group to remove access to, and I might be pronouncing this wrong, mifepristone, which is the most commonly used abortion drug on the market. So it's one of the abortion drugs that is a pill. And it's a two-part thing. So the person having the abortion would take two pills. Only one of them is this drug. But this group is basically challenging the FDA's, the Federal Drug Administration's, approval of the drug. Which is insane. Because we shouldn't really be allowing groups to try and overturn FDA decisions and say, no, the Food and Drug Administration, we disagree about you marking this drug as safe, so we're going to fight you on it. That's not a precedent we really want to set.
That is so massively dangerous.
Yes, because These are right-wing groups, and the thought, which I think is a very reasonable concern, is that this will then go to, like, care for people trying to transition and things like that. Well, right-wing groups tend to not like trans people, so they could try and limit access to those drugs that are needed as well. HIV drugs were also something that people are worried that they might not have access to if we let people just fight the FDA on their decisions.
Well, it also goes into if the FDA isn't allowing a drug, does that mean now pharmaceutical companies have a precedence to fight that decision and get an unsafe drug on the market?
We don't know, because there's not a precedent for this, so it's possible.
Just for people who may not care unless it involves themselves, like, there's the potential here for, like, massive abuse by pharmaceutical companies as well.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And that's what we said in the first episode, is you have to realize this isn't just about abortion. It's about control. It's going to spread into other forms of our lives. So what I have today does mostly revolve around abortion. But Roe v. Wade had more protections than just that. It was basically, what consenting adults do in their homes and how they take care of themselves is none of our business. And now they're saying, well, it can be the state's business if they want it to be. So I don't like that. And it's so funny to me, considering that right wing always say, like, oh, we want less government. The government should be out of our business. But then they try and pass shit like this to control people's lives. It's insane.
Well, they want the government out of their business because their business is correct. And if you don't follow it, then you are not correct, which means you deserve it, right? Which is just mental gymnastics there, man. I will say, I forgot one ramification of Roe v. Wade is, I can't remember his first name, but Pelvert in Canada, he is the Conservative Party. We have like five parties, but he's the Conservative Party leader at the federal level. And he kind of, when Roe v. Wade happened and then everything else going on in certain states that are restricting people's choices even more, he's basically become the mouthpiece for that in Canada. And it's quite frightening to watch that happen. So there, and we have a federal election coming, so that's gonna be interesting. But yeah, it is quite frightening to see that, because that happened in the States, other countries are using it as a precedence to be like, well, if they did it over here, it must work over with us now, right? Which is just horrifying.
And it's funny because that doesn't work with us, because it's like, why can't we have universal health care? It works everywhere else where it exists, but no, we can't. It wouldn't work for us for some reason.
My favorite argument, again, my favorite in quotes is in like one of the most insane ones I heard against that was, well, it works in countries like Finland and the Netherlands, et cetera, because they're more homogenous. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
What does that have to do with anything about universal healthcare? Other than I think you might be a racist that you mentioned it. Like, what?
There does seem to be a lot of overlap.
There does. There's definitely a multi-circle Venn diagram of all of that. Anyway, continue. That was my little aside.
Okay. So, another result of the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. So, by 100 days after that decision was made, so only a few months, by day 100, nearly 22 million women of reproductive age, which was almost one in three women, found themselves living in states where abortion was either unavailable or severely restricted. In 2022 alone, state legislators introduced 563 provisions to restrict access to abortion. 14 states now have near total abortion bans during any point in pregnancy. I personally feel like 14 out of 50 is a lot.
Yeah. Well, also, especially, I think we established it in our kind of our part one of it was a lot of people don't understand that abortion covers miscarriage, stillbirth, yes, etc. Like, you're telling women to carry potentially dead fetuses and go into sepsis.
Yep, that's the thing. They're already dead.
Yeah.
And they still considered an abortion.
Yeah.
Because so saying that an abortion kills is factually wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you believe, you know, a fetus is life the moment that's alive at the moment of conception, an abortion still counts if they are already dead. They will never become a baby. They will never grow. It needs to be removed from the woman's body. So, like you said, she doesn't get sepsis and die.
Ugh. Yeah, and then what I found interesting, I don't want to say recently because I don't know how recent it was, but the shocked Christians about IVF.
Oh, yes, that's on my list.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I'll let you get to that then.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
I tried not to go too overboard, and I tried to limit how much I put on my notes because I didn't want to just have this turn into a rant, which I feel like I kind of did in the first one. If I'm being honest.
But I think it was also raw and so recent.
Yeah, that's very true. Oh. Okay, so yes, 563 provisions just in 2022 alone. That's a lot. They got on this quick. I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me. Especially because abortion wasn't even this hot topic not that long ago. Like, it's not like we've always had this big anti-abortion mentality. Even religious groups didn't. And none of them seemed to care that this is suddenly coming out of the woodwork and they don't find that suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... What did I watch? I watched Shiny Happy People, which, the Duggar documentary expose. But it's even bigger than that. It's about one of the most insidious Christian groups in America. And we are now seeing the results of them trying to get ultra-conservative Christians into office. That's what we're seeing right now. And it goes over that. And like, I feel like Roe v. Wade is the prime example of that. And then what you're seeing in the states with all those provisions, especially when you see which states they are, prime examples of like, it feels like it just came on. But when I watched that documentary, I was like, oh my God, this has been like in the works for decades. Like, this is really insidious.
It is. It's all... I mean, it's... I'm afraid to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but it is a big plan that involves keeping the rich rich. That's essentially what it is. If you go down the line, they want a labor force. They want to keep poor people poor because otherwise, if people have opportunity and grow, then there's no one to work for them and the wealth will be distributed more evenly. They don't want that. So it's just, it's those in power and those who are wealthy wanting to stay that way. And in order to do that, you need to be able to control the population.
Mm-hmm.
And we should all, well, I don't want to say that. I'll get in trouble. I'm going to say this, and it's a joke.
Okay.
We should all do what the French did. Let me just put that there. So it's vague enough that I'm not going to get in trouble. We should just do what the French did. Okay.
Can I expand on that?
Yes.
So get the farmers to dump manure in front of buildings?
Yeah.
Because that's what they most recently did.
Sure, that's what I'm talking about. But I'm up for that too. We can do multiple things.
Well, yeah, because like you don't want to take the manure too far, or you're going to lose it all.
Yeah, of course. So moving on to some prosecutions here. So women being at increasing risk of criminal charges for getting abortions, but also for, like you said, for miscarriages and stillbirths. So a very famous case that was talked about a lot in the news was the case of Brittany Watts, who was a woman in Ohio who was 22 weeks pregnant. And this happened within the last couple of months. She was 22 weeks pregnant. Some sources said 21. So right in there, 21, 22 weeks, when she miscarried. She knew that she was not going to have a viable pregnancy and stuff. So this was just something that was going to happen. She miscarried in the bathroom of her home. 2 weeks later, she was arrested on charges of a felony for abuse of a corpse.
Jesus.
That's something that's almost never applied to miscarriages. It's applied to, like, the reason why they mostly hire female morticians, because there's an issue with a lot, and it's widespread. It's a huge issue that's been going on for eons, that men will abuse corpses sexually. So it's mostly meant for things like that. It's meant for things like in murder cases when you try and dispose of a body. So that's what it's usually applied to, actual criminal acts. But yeah, they charged her with a felony for abuse of a corpse. And I actually saw the like opening arguments for this case, and the prosecution pissed me off so much because they made it sound like she had the miscarriage somewhere else and then placed the body, the fetus, in the toilet, which is not what happened. She was on the toilet when it came out.
Yeah.
But they made it sound like she placed it there. Like she decided that that's what she was gonna do, which is just a flat out lie. That's not what happened. And this was a baby she wanted. She didn't get an abortion and then the body came out later. No, she wanted this baby. And now she has to deal with potentially a year in jail because the state is trying to say she didn't handle the remains as they saw fit. But the biggest thing is, there's not a law about this. There's no law that dictates how you're supposed to handle the remains after a miscarriage.
Yeah.
So what law was she supposed to follow?
Exactly.
There was no indication of within state law of what she should have done, but they've just decided that, well, we don't think this was proper, so we're going to try and throw you in jail over it.
Yeah,
but again, she's not breaking a law. There's nothing that says that when you have a miscarriage, you have to do X, Y, Z, or else you're going to get in trouble. That's not a thing.
Well, it's even if a family member suddenly dies in the home, most people don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You call 911 and they tell you, or they direct you somewhere. Like that's my for a lot of people that's nobody. Like if somebody spontaneously died in my house, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the body.
Yeah, me neither. Like,
I'd be like, call 911 and be like, hey, so this isn't really an emergency, but also it could be. Can you just tell me what to do now?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know what to do if someone were to pass away. And it's not a matter of like, I can save them or they can be saved. It's kind of, if they're just like straight up gone, I don't know what to do. Because like technically, is that an emergency? No, but what else am I supposed to do? Maybe we should look this up.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not like there's because since kindergarten, even daycare, they have police, fire, EMS go into schools and tell kids, you call 911. These are emergency situations. You call 911. If you're, they probably do it in a different way now, but I even remember my mother would make sure myself and my younger brother would wave at police officers, fire people, and EMS workers, because the idea was if we ever got lost or something, it's an obvious vehicle, it's an obvious uniform to spot, and they'll help you. Nobody tells you the steps after that. You just trust them to tell you. So yeah, like, you can't persecute somebody for not knowing the procedure, especially when you have no procedure.
And that's what, that's the thing, is there is, she didn't violate any law.
Yeah, like, it's very clear they're trying to make an example and set a precedent.
100%.
That's so awful. I can't imagine you go through a miscarriage and now you have to, like, do your defense and everything like that. Like, this is traumatic.
Yeah, so she's grieving. And now people are telling her that she's disgusting and evil because she had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Again, there's no law being violated, but if the wording is vague enough for what abuse of a corpse entails and what falls into that scope, she could go to jail.
Yeah.
Even though she did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
There are many, many cases of women being persecuted for having drugs in their system when they miscarry, even if it's not linked to the miscarriage. You can't prove that the drugs use had anything to do with the miscarriage. A lot of women are being persecuted for that because, you know, they're trying to say that the fetus is a person and therefore you were essentially forcing them to ingest drugs and get it into their system, and now...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But the thing that also bugs me about that is, because I'm sure some people think, well, yeah, they mean like heroin and cocaine and stuff. I'm like, no, there's some people who, like, they think antidepressants. That's an illicit substance. You're a drug addict if you have to take that. Medication for any kind of health condition, physical or mental. Like, to them, it's like, no, you're abusing a thing. I remember my own mother feeling guilty that she didn't know she was pregnant with me during, I think, the first month or 2 months. And that was in allergy season for her. She felt guilty for taking allergy medication.
And that's the thing, is most people don't know they're pregnant until what? Like week... Well, I forgot what week it was. There's a stat out there that says, like, on average, when women find out they're pregnant, but it's not right away. We don't, like, we don't have this, like, sixth sense that the moment the sperm penetrates the egg, we're like, oh, I'm pregnant now. People don't know for often a couple months, if not longer. And so if you can be in trouble for that, for going out and having a night out on the town and drinking, but it turns out you're pregnant, and now you're going to go to jail because you drank while pregnant?
Yeah, like, it's, you cannot prove intent. Do you know what I mean? Like, so why are you, also, I assume, I know that the legal system where I am is quite bogged down. A part of it is a triage priority issue. Part of it is post-COVID, and part of it is it's just always been bogged down. So it's baffling to me why you would want to bog down, because I assume most other legal systems in the States are quite bogged down. Why do you want to bog it down even further? But it's not about that, right? Like, I keep forgetting, it's not about that. It's about control. Yeah. And it's about saying my way's the right way and you need to hit the highway type thing.
And that's the thing I really want everyone to just kind of take away from this, is it is about p- control. This has the potential to affect literally every single person in the U.S. And like you said, it can have an effect on other countries. So just because you may not have an abortion and no one in your life that you're close to needs one or will ever need one doesn't mean that it won't impact you. It absolutely will. Or certainly has the potential to if the things that people want to happen end up happening. Okay. So we talked about Brittany Watts. Now let's talk about Kate Cox. Cox received a fatal fetal diagnosis. So again, her baby was never going to be a baby. It was never going to be born. It was never going to be viable and live. This is also another one that, not as recent, but was really, really big in the news when, after Roe v. Wade was overturned. She was told that the pregnancy would also pose a risk to her own health as well as any future fertility. So if something wasn't done about this non-viable pregnancy, she could be at risk and she may not be able to have any more children in the future. They already have two, her and her husband already have two children, I believe, and they wanted a big family. So again, this was a baby that was very much wanted, a pregnancy that was very much wanted. They intended to bring the child to term, raise the baby, big happy family. And unfortunately, something happened and that just simply was not possible. Unfortunately for Kate, she lived in Texas.
Oh no.
Yes. So she petitioned for being able to get an abortion because abortions were banned. She wanted an exception in her case because, again, there was no potential for this to end in a new life. That wasn't on the table. But it could destroy her life. And she's already got two kids. So then two, you know, a husband would lose his wife and two kids would lose their mom if something happened to her. The Texas Supreme Court, because it went up to the Texas Supreme Court, ruled that they would not let her get an abortion in the state. And she was forced to travel outside of the state to obtain the care that she needed. So this case is already, you know, closed. It was denied. And she said, and this is a quote, I wanted to be here close to home. I mean, it's the hardest thing I've been through. I want to come home, cry on my pillow, hold my babies, be near my doctors. That's really what I thought about the most going into this. And this being the petition she had to stay in the state and have an abortion. She said she was shocked to find out that her case did not qualify for an emergency exception. She said, there's nobody that loves and wants a baby girl more than I do, but there's no outcomes at the end of this where I take home a healthy baby girl. I never thought I would want or need an abortion, but this is a medical decision and it's what's needed for my health.
And that's the thing. Abortion is a medical decision. It is a medical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and in her case, like she said, there was no avenue where she went home from the hospital with a baby. That was not going to happen. But they wouldn't let her have an abortion.
Nope.
So she had to travel out of state and be away from her kids and the comfort of her own home to go through something traumatizing. Because again, she very, very, very much wanted this baby. She was excited about this pregnancy. And then she just couldn't get the medical care she needed near home, which is so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these cases can then be used as precedent to further persecute women. And I feel like we're only going to see more and more of it. They don't want to make exceptions. They don't want to muddy the waters. They want a hard line to where this medical procedure just cannot be done.
It's baffling to me too, because I'm like, the only justification I can think is control. And then also, like, do you really can't accept that, like, something like this can happen. You really can't accept that God isn't perfect type thing. Cause like that's the only other thing I can think of is if a fetus is non-viable, it shakes somebody's belief that God is perfect. Like, baffling.
Yeah. And if they say like, oh, well, that's just, you know, the will of God that this baby, you know, wasn't going to live. Okay, so it's just, we're just gonna not have medical procedures because it's the will of God.
Yeah.
God willed you to have cancer, so why would we give you cancer treatment? Yeah. Sorry, kids, your mom's gonna die because she can't have an abortion because it's just God's will. So now you won't have a mom.
It keeps reminding me of the incident that got Ireland to legalize abortion.
And, I don't know about that.
This was a while back. Ireland's highly Catholic. It's a Catholic nation.
I know that.
So a woman, she was laboring. The baby died. Not coming out. She's going into sepsis. But the hospital cannot perform the abortion because it is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to get on a boat to go across to England to get an abortion there. But keep in mind, she is in sepsis. She was in labor. She was bleeding. She died on the boat. And so that was when Ireland at the time, total ban on abortion, as evidenced by the baby was dead. Mom's in sepsis, in the middle of labor in sepsis. And they weren't allowed to perform an abortion. So she died, and that was the incident that caused Ireland to allow a medically necessary abortion in certain cases. Yes, there's still restrictions and stuff on that, but even they allow it. But it's just interesting that the story had to be that dramatic for it to be allowed.
And that's the thing, is with doctors and hospitals not being allowed, they're scared because they could go to jail.
Yeah.
For murder.
Yeah.
I mean, if you define a fetus as a person and they perform an abortion, then okay, they killed a person, now they have to go to jail. So, and sometimes there's emergencies, there's actual emergencies, and they're afraid that if the, you know, a baby dies during childbirth or whatever the incident may be, that they're gonna get blamed and be persecuted for that. And they're if something's not approved ahead of time, they're scared to do it. Well, when you have time sensitive issues, we can't wait for a court to decide if this person can have treatment, because again, they could get sepsis and die in the meantime. Whereas if a doctor was able and allowed to handle it right away, it may have been no big deal. They remove, you know, the remains, they put the person on antibiotics, and that's it. Instead, now they're potentially dying because we're waiting on some, you know, committee or government body to decide if this person can be an exception and actually get medical care.
Which is even, because I know another big stories in the States are people who have to wait for essential medical care because they need to prove to the insurance company that they need it. And so that this kind of, like, now you have to present to the government and you have to present to committees and stuff like that. Like, it's even worse.
Yeah. So now you have, you know, women being scared, but you also have doctors being scared. And hospital, you know, administrations, they're going to do whatever they have to do to mitigate damages. So they're going to err on the side of caution every time.
Yep.
Because they have to keep the hospital running. That's their job. And unfortunately, the real consequence of that is that lives can be lost.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Not to mention that women die in childbirth fairly regularly. Unfortunately, America is really bad with that, which we went into detail with in the first episode, so we'll get too far down that road. So again, not allowing abortions to women who are just weak, whatever condition they might have, they just can't go through the trauma of childbirth, but we're going to force them to anyway. And again, then you just have a kid that's motherless. Is that really better?
And then not to mention, I find a lot of people forget that there are very good social reasons for people to have abortions. Like, birth control fails. There is this thing called rape. There is, you know, you can take all of the precautions and just fall pregnant. And there's this, what kills me is I tend to find the same people who say, like, you know, who are anti-abortion, pro-life, however you want to say it, are also similar to the same people of, if you can't afford a child, don't have one.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. So it's like you haven't created a society with the social network there for people to choose to keep babies despite socioeconomic issues or anything else. But also you're discounting all of these other reasons, such as somebody say they fall pregnant and realize they can't have a kid with this person. This person is a monster and it's only going to get worse. They can't be tied to this person anyway. Or, you know, the worst can happen. They and the child are going to end up dead. And they got to get out. Like, there's so many situations. It's just arrogant to assume that, you know, an elective abortion isn't necessary. Like, it's nobody uses abortion as a form of birth control. And if they do, they're a fraction of a percentage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's that bringing out those fractions of a percentage as, like, your example is just so underhanded. Yeah, it's, you're not focusing on the big picture. Why are you punishing the whole class for the one kid who's being a jerk?
Yeah. Because it fits their agenda, so. And they don't have... They don't have anything better to bring out for their arguments because nothing better exists. Yeah. That's all the circumstance they have because the facts don't support their agenda. It reminds me, I forgot who the politician was, but there was some politician who was asking if... So there's a camera that you can swallow that, like, looks into your digestive system. So that they can, like, diagnose and this kind of stuff in a non-invasive way. And there was some politician who asked if that can be done to view a fetus.
You can't swallow.
Believe it or not, the uterus is not a part of the digestive tract. And no, the pill won't travel into it, so you can view the fetus. What the fuck? And these are the people who make the decisions. That's the part that's insane. I get into this a lot whenever they have to decide, like the Senate or House or whatever, have to decide something on technology, and you see these fucking dinosaurs trying to make an argument, but it's so blindingly obvious that they have no idea how it works. I've seen them question TikTok and Google and all this kind of stuff, and they're so bad at it. Their questions are, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch. It's one of those things where you get secondhand embarrassment, and it's hard to watch because their questions are so dumb because they do not understand technology. And this is the same thing. They don't understand reproduction. They don't understand women's bodies, but they're the ones who get to make all the decisions.
Yeah, it's... Oh my god, it's so infuriating. Because I'm like, look, I get it. If you're not into this stuff, you're not going to know the nitty-gritty. But I do expect you to do research and your first questions being asked, asking like, okay, so the TikTok
I don't know, the TikTok company is based in this country, your servers are located over here, and then you have these licenses, am I correct in that assumption, blah, blah, blah. Like, your board of directors has these people who are based out of these countries, am I correct in that assumption? Because I was seeing one where they were trying to establish that TikTok was run by the Chinese government or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm like, if you're trying to establish something like that, you can go and do your research and show up and ask questions confirming and specifying. If you don't understand how an algorithm works, you can research that and then in the session get them to confirm or deny what your understanding is, and then you can have follow-up questions depending on either way. Like, I'm not saying it's easy prep, it's hard prep, but that's your job!
Yep. Well, that's the end. You have aides, you have staff. You're not out there on your own. Isn't somebody around to make sure you're not embarrassing yourself?
Yeah, like, it's... are you even doing your prep? You're paid to do prep. Are you doing your prep? You're supposed to do your prep.
Oh, I saw one, and this was at a state level, and I don't remember the state, where they were voting people for people who didn't show up. And they do this so regularly that these politicians had sticks so they could press the buttons at other people's seats to take votes. And it was all on camera.
If you're not, if they're not there, you shouldn't be allowed to, sorry.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And I don't think it was a matter of they got permission or was just voting by proxy. It was just putting in extra votes. And like I said, they do this so often that they literally had little sticks so that they could reach other people's seats.
If you need to see, voting by proxy should only be in like instances where the person is coherent but hospitalized.
Right.
Like matters like that. It shouldn't be so regular you have a freaking stick.
But if you're not there to hear the arguments and be an active participant in debates, then you don't have the information you need to even make an informed decision.
Yeah.
But clearly they don't care about being informed. Now, back to the TikTok thing. I don't know if this was one of the bigwigs at TikTok, but I'm pretty sure it was, where they were asking questions about China and, you know, if you've ever been a citizen, have you ever worked for the Chinese government, have you ever blah blah blah, and the guy kept saying, no, I'm from Singapore, I'm not Chinese. He had to repeat it over and over again. I'm not Chinese. I'm not from China. I don't work for China. I'm from Singapore. That's my heritage. And they just kept grilling him about, are you Chinese? Are you from China? It's like, and one guy was like, I don't know about Singapore. I couldn't even find Singapore on a map. And it's like,
what?
Because you're stupid and can't find Singapore on a map, that you must be lying?
You literally just have to type in Singapore into any web browser.
And you'll find that it's real. And you can even go there.
Yeah, and you'll get a map that you can expand out from and visually see where it is. Like, Jesus.
And those are the things that just make me so embarrassed. Like, this is our government? People think that we elected these people? I don't... it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and I will say something, because I think it applies to the States, but in a bit of a different way than in Canada. We have a multi-party system, so we use something called first past the post, where if a party is the first to get a certain number of votes, they have a majority.
Oh.
That being said, it does not indicate the actual will of the people, because you can, the conservatives, at least on the federal level, and you're seeing it provincially as well, kind of amalgamated all sides back in the late 80s, early 90s. So then you have the left-leaning and liberal votes, and the far-left votes are split between multiple parties. But if you added those up, more people voted for those parties. So it's a continual problem in Canada with that. But what it also means is you're getting people in power who have a majority who are making decisions that is not reflective of the entire country. And then to top that all off, we have massive voter apathy in this country, which I think is just utterly disgraceful. I don't think there's no excuse for it as far as I'm concerned. Like, we have so many ways that you can vote in this country, so many ways that it's made accessible. Elections Canada even goes into prisons to make sure people vote. They go into, fly-in only communities to make sure people vote. And it's, I think the last federal election we had, it was less than 30% of people who could vote did vote. And I'm like, if you want this onslaught of conservatism to stop, you need to frickin' vote. Put on your adult pants and vote. Like, my party's never gonna win, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Canada has protest parties, for crying out loud, that you specifically vote for them when you don't agree with anybody. And that's the Rhino Party and the Communist Party. The Rhino Party, by the way, wants to pave over Saskatchewan and turn it into a parking lot. They are a protest party. They have these ridiculous policies because they are there as you don't like anything else, vote for us. And that's a way that if you don't agree with anything, you are still noted. You are still counted in that vote. You can also invalidate your vote and your vote will still be counted as it being invalid. So it's really annoying to me to have people not go out and vote, even just for like, look, you may not agree with it, but if you are going to get up on your social justice warrior milk box and talk about the most vulnerable people in this country, go out and vote.
Yeah.
Because
that's much a, put your money where your mouth is type of thing.
Protect those vulnerable people. It is the bare minimum you can do. And I feel like that's the same in the States, especially when it gets to state and municipal elections with like the Roe v. Wade happening. Like, mm-hmm. It's even more important you go out and vote and take interest in your local politics. That was me on my milk box.
Well, it's good to discuss these things and it's good to verbally support these things, but you need to do something, especially when it's something as simple and easy as a voting. I don't know how about Canada, but in the US, your job has to give you time off to vote.
It's the same for us. We also, like I said, it's a kind of arm's length third party agency called Elections Canada, which runs voting across the country. They register you through your SIN card. And on top of that, because I know some states you have to re-register every year, you don't have to in our country. It's even easier. You don't have to. You go to your polling station, they cross off your name, they mark that you were there, and then you go and vote. And like, oh, you have to stand in a line. Well, when you go to a theme park, how long are you standing in a line for one ride? Like, when you go to the grocery store, how long are you standing in line? When you go to your doctors and they get a patient ahead of you who suddenly has all of these other things happening to them, how long do you wait? So you're telling me you can't wait to do that? Like, we have it very easy in Canada. I don't want to say there aren't issues. There are. But it's ridiculously easy to vote in Canada.
Do you have the option to mail-in vote?
We do. You also have the option to vote early. Mm-hmm. And I did that a couple election cycles ago, and I freaking loved it. I was like, I'm coming in early all the time, right when it opens. And you wonder, it was funny. I was going right when it opens. There was a bus that was transporting people from an elderly home who couldn't drive. Like, they really... Is it perfect? No, but they really, really try. There are so many options, and we don't have to stand in 3 hours to prove our identity either. Like, it's really... I didn't realize how hard it was to vote in some states down there. I was like, Jesus Christ. This is like a week-long thing.
It's funny because my first job was at a retirement home, and we were a polling place. Yeah. So we would actually host the people who were doing the polling. And I worked, well, I did multiple things, but I remember when I worked in the dining room, we had what was called restaurant style dining. So everyone sits down, it's nice tables, a waiter takes your order because we have a full menu and all this kind of stuff. And then people who were coming in to vote kept trying to come over and order food.
And
we're like, no, we're not like a restaurant. We don't, it's included in their rental price, so we don't take payment. I have no way of having you pay. There's no prices on any of the food. Like, we can't do this. But it was just all day, like, nope, we can't serve you. This is, you can come in and vote, but then you gotta go.
Oh no. Sorry, it's just something funny about that. I'm picturing these sad people standing outside looking longingly at the food.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, but in my mind.
It would have been convenient to go, you know, vote and then get lunch in the same building. I get it. Yeah. So the other thing that happened very, very recently in Alabama, shockingly, a lot of the states that have these severe abortion laws are in the South. Who could have guessed?
What? No!
I know!
What? This is this is shocking to me. I need
groundbreaking news.
I know. I need my fainting couch and smelling salts. This is all too much.
So, the Alabama Supreme Court recently ruled that frozen fertilized embryos legally count as children.
Oh my god.
Yes. So, just because they're fertilized, they count legally as children. This is insane and so bad. This is a terrible decision, and the repercussions will be many.
So
this opens up because basically Alabama has now said that at conception it's a person, is essentially what has been had decided. So then that again opens up the big can of worms of miscarriages, or what if you're drinking and didn't know you were pregnant? And it will limit medical procedures because, oh, you're pregnant, we can't do that, or the medications that you can take. So it has those repercussions that we've kind of already touched on. But the big thing is it jeopardizes the option for IVF, mm-hmm. because you usually have multiple fertilized embryos. So are you saying that at some point those have to be brought into this world? Someone has to carry those? Or do they have to pay to store them forever? Are they going to have to pay for storage? And storage for a frozen embryo is not cheap. And you can't just put it in a freezer. It has to stay at a medical facility. They have to take care of it. And it has to be monitored constantly to be at the right temperatures. They have to be backup generators, all this kind of stuff. So now these people who, you know, wanted IVF have to pay for frozen embryos to be stored forever for the rest of their lives. Are they going to have to do this? Because you can't dispose of them, because then you're killing a person, because they have been defined as people. So you can't get rid of them, but you just have to pay to store them forever, or else there will be legal repercussions and you can be persecuted for that. So people in Alabama might not want to consider IVF. So,
And the thing is, it's interesting to me because I do know IVF has some pretty big religious proponents of it.
Yeah,
and it's like, so you've just shot yourselves in the foot now. In addition to that, if I'm not mistaken, with a lot of fertility treatments, they'll put in more and yes. then reduce after, because you can't predict latching onto the uterine wall and, yes. and viability. So then that becomes, so if it's, we're gonna
risk women's lives for litters, essentially litters of children, or risk the life of not only the mother, but of any viable fetus, because the other ones just aren't, they're not viable, they're not attaching, they're this, that, and the other thing, but you're not allowed to remove them now.
Yeah, I don't know the details of how that works, but I mean, let's say you have three and they all attached and you're like, okay, cool, I'll have triplets. But then something happens with one of them. Can you remove it so that you don't get sepsis and it puts the other two in danger? Or can you not do that? But that doesn't make sense because then you're putting the mother and the other two infants' lives in danger. So they've basically muddied the waters, but made it possible to persecute someone for a whole wealth of reasons. And you have medical staff again. Are doctors going to want to do IVF procedures if they could potentially have all these repercussions? If something's not handled precisely well, are they going to get abuse of a corpse charges? Are they going to get child endangerment charges if they accidentally drop a vial in the lab? You know, there's so many ways this can be used to ruin people's lives or cause real bodily harm to individuals. The idea that frozen, fertilized embryos outside of a body are people. And
I keep going back to, because I found this really awesome book which takes you through, like every time you flip the page, it's the next day of gestation, sorry. And they have pictures and you can actually see the breakdown of gestation of a fetus and like, you know, how it develops and everything. And I keep going back to, I really think you can't consider, there is something to be said for saying the life needs to be able to sustain itself.
Yeah.
Because if it can't sustain itself, there's an issue. And that's a slippery slope, because I know people use that argument against those with severe disabilities. But there's a lot of people with, the vast majority of people with severe disabilities, they don't need to be kept frozen. They don't need to be hooked up to another person to stay alive. They can be, maybe with a couple machines or something, maybe with an aid. But like when we're talking about split cells, because that's what it is, it's a collection of cells, it cannot sustain itself in the world at all, period. Not with all the technology in the world can it sustain itself and develop. So I think there is something, just like how we have a definition of what is brain dead, we have a definition of what is brain alive. And I'm like, if you really want to get into lines here, that's the most logical one. But this whole, like, those frozen embryos are never going to develop on their own.
And they have no brains. They have no feeling. They have no cognition. They aren't life as I personally would define it. I mean, they're so far removed from that point. I think it's like 20 to 24 weeks or 22 to 24 weeks that they start to actually, like, it can feel pain and have some sense of self or know of its own existence, kind of have a brain type thing. This is a frozen embryo. This is just, you know, we're at the fertilized egg stage. It has none of that. If we start defining things by their potential, it is the potential to be a life. That is its own slippery slope, because that opens the door for so many things. If we're just the potential that this could have happened, and now we're going to prosecute you for limiting that potential.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, I know it's frustrating for people when it's like, this person clearly planned this and they were going to kill me. Well, we can charge them for planning it. We can't charge them for doing it because they didn't do it. And I know that can be frustrating for a lot of people, especially when we talk about stalking and stuff like that. But the flip side of that, and this goes into your argument, is you can't
persecute somebody for a potential, because you can't prove that they were emphatically going to do that. You can't prove that emphatically this was going to be a viable life.
I know we talk about movies too much, but isn't that a movie where police go at, like, they can see into the future?
Oh my God, it's a Tom Cruise movie.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
And there's, it's directed by Steven Spielberg.
They can see the future, and this person's gonna commit a crime, so we're gonna arrest them preemptively.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, now I have to look it up, because it's bothering me.
It's funny, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen this Futurama episode that's very similar. But, I mean, we're
Minority Report.
Minority Report. Okay, maybe I have to watch it.
And they are the pre-crime unit.
Yeah. So how are we going to really start doing that?
Yeah.
Persecute people on what might happen.
Yeah, and then going back to woman had a miscarriage. Well, no, she clearly did this with intent. You can't prove intent. Yeah. Unless somebody has stated something in a fully cognizant capacity. you really can't prove it. You can infer intent, but you can't prove it either way. Somebody has a miscarriage in the bathroom. You can't prove they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say this. If I can spontaneously think myself into having a miscarriage, it'd be really nice to spontaneously just have my period in 5 minutes and be done with it.
Right?
Don't you think if women could do that, we would have solved the period issue long ago?
Well, and the sad thing is some men and stuff will believe that women have control over their periods, and so they argue and talk about how gross periods are, and why don't you just do it at home or control it, or... Yeah. I mean, there are idiots out there who probably think that we should be able to do that.
Yeah, well, it's really gross, men who have wet dreams and get morning wood. Why can't you just control that? Jesus. This would be fun. This would be funny if it wasn't so sad.
Yeah. And I continue to fear on how it's going to reflect in other things outside of abortion.
Numerous medical procedures. You touched on trans people in transition. Not just HIV medication, but any medication. Saw it with businesses being allowed to choose whether or not they cover birth control pills.
Yep.
It's truly crazy, and this has nothing to do with the safety of women at all. None of it has to do with the safety of women. You're right. It's about control. It's about control and forcing one very specific worldview on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And only because that worldview is convenient for them in the moment. They don't actually care about abortion. They don't actually care about kids. And I shouldn't go down this road, but just the various Christian religions, so we're not talking about any religions outside of Christianity, just the Christian religions, those churches in the U.S. have enough money to solve both homelessness and provide care and homes for every single foster kid in the U.S. Just the Christian churches have the money and resources to be able to do that. But they don't actually care about giving and helping those in need. That's what you're supposed to do, but you don't do it.
No.
You hoard wealth and keep it. And I'm not just talking about the ones with the super churches who have private jets and stuff. I'm not just talking about those guys.
But it's even to the point of what is it, telling the most impoverished in your congregation to give their last $5.
Yes.
It's insidious. Now, that being said, I do recognize that, there are... It's very much dependent on the religious leader. There are religious leaders who are very open. They give all the money back into the community, all of this other stuff. But that doesn't negate the fact that there are these groups that are incredibly problematic, and they have, I guess, congregations that will follow them to the end of the world type.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really horrifying. Not to get too off topic, but like in Canada, something that's, you know, has made news, and I noticed it makes news in outlets that are bigoted and racist as well, and they're clearly trying to slant something with it, an anti-immigration agenda. However, it is just to note that, like, people find anti-abortion and anti-LGBTQ uniting. One of the biggest parental groups in Canada that doesn't want LGBTQ plus taught in schools is a Muslim parent group. And they will vote conservative, even if conservative has anti-immigration stuff that will prevent them from bringing the rest of their family members over.
And because
it's interesting to me that those two topics are the unifiers, and they'll ignore everything else.
And it's because they've been, you know, radicalized. But what it essentially does is, when they face all this opposition, it makes them dig their heels in.
Yes.
So they've proven, without a shadow of a doubt, that, I don't know if you get this as much in Canada, but we get it to an annoying degree in the US, which is people like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormon missionaries knocking on your door and trying to, you know, spread the word of God.
I've had Jehovah's Witnesses a couple times.
I've had Jehovah's Witnesses and Baptists and Mormons.
You are inundated. Jesus. I shouldn't complain about my, like, one in the last 5 years.
The thing is they usually don't come back, so I get different groups because I'm not nice. Because they're ignoring my sign that says to go away. So I don't appreciate that.
You know what? To be fair, you did put up a sign.
They've been warned that I'm not interested, but they chose to push. But they've proven that doesn't work. That doesn't increase, you know, your people coming to your church. It does not work. You're not converting anybody. But what it is very effective at doing is radicalizing the people who are already there and keeping them. Because when they get doors slammed in their face all day and they get people being rude to them, all they do is dig in their heels and feel more strongly about what their beliefs are. And that it makes that us versus them mentality, so that they stick with their group and they don't go outside of it, because they don't want that kind of opposition and for people to be, you know, they see everyone else as rude and wrong. So they don't open their eyes and they don't interact with other people outside their belief system. So they just get more and more indoctrinated. So even though that does not work, it is not an effective strategy to get people to go to church. They still do it because it radicalizes the members and keeps those members as lifelong members, and doesn't open their eyes to other belief systems or anything that might be going wrong in their church. So yeah, a bit of a tangent there, but it's, even though we kind of talked about religion, it's same with politics. People, you can give someone irrefutable evidence that they are wrong, but they can't accept that. And they can't be an adult and be like, okay, I was wrong. And now that I have more information, I am changing my beliefs. That's what every mature adult should be able to do. You should be able to say, with this new information, my beliefs have changed. That is okay.
And I will say, if you feel like you're going to be made fun of by your peer group or something like that, maybe you need a new peer group. If you think, like, on evidence changing your opinion. Sorry, I should say verifiable evidence, not Joe Schmo's Facebook post. Verifiable evidence.
Or people's personal experiences and taking that like it's some kind of law.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, because this kind of helped me out a bit, was learning that, like, the independent press only does facts,
And then those are taken by other news outlets and expanded on. And it could be in-depth research, but it also includes opinion slants. So,
oh yeah,
you know, if you're tired of the news, you can find, like, you know, your national radio or your independent press and stuff, and just get facts. And I do find, like, you know, sometimes I need that. I need just the facts. That's all I want. And then I can go back to just to get a palate cleanser, you know?
I think everyone should get their news from multiple sources.
Yeah.
Because when you stick to one, the chance of you having all the facts all the time are severely limited.
Yeah. Oh, no, I just mean if you're like, if you're getting overwhelmed with all the opinions and everything, you know, you can take a break and just listen from the source for just the fact updates. And then when you're feeling up to it, you can go back in. But sometimes we need a break.
Oh, for mental health, absolutely. I stopped looking, reading, watching the news for a while after we started putting kids in cages at the border, because I was like, I can't think about anything else. I can't just go about my day like nothing's happening. It's debilitating for me to read that. And then I just can't function because I'm so devastatingly upset, because I was like, those kids are being abused. I guarantee it. And now, you know, years later, it's coming out. Oh, guess what? They were severely abused. Oh, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, like, it's very hard to get decent carers to begin with, but decent carers on that scale?
Yeah.
Like, it... Like, you're getting... It's like, what was it? During a famine, you don't care if your food's rotting. You've got to eat. Well, you know, when you've created a care crisis for children, guess what? They can't care where the help comes from. They've just got to get the care. And that's just as detrimental.
So the last thing I wanted to bring up, which, again, I think comes down to what we've been really wanting to get across, which is this is not just about abortion. Mm-hmm. This was also recent. I want to say he's from Idaho.
Idaho? Udaho. Sorry, my tasteless joke for levity.
So yes, it was Idaho. Idaho State Senator Chuck Winder. This happened, again, very recently. He thinks that part of the issue with so people are very concerned that our birth rates are going down, which is a fact. They are, because it's too expensive to live. Who can afford kids? And medical care is inaccessible, so naturally birth rates are going down, and that's part of why this abortion ban is being pushed by a lot of politicians and a lot of rich people, is because they want laborers. And I think I even said that in the first episode. And this Idaho state senator said that, like, point blank, said that the abortions he feel are affecting the workforce. And someone countered with, oh, I don't think forced pregnancy is the answer. And he just kind of scoffed and, like, smiled, because obviously he doesn't give a shit about women or forced pregnancy.
You want people so desperate they will accept below living wage and below union wage and no safety. That's what you want at that point.
Yeah.
Like,
you
want disposable lives.
And they said, they denied it at the beginning. And then initially they're like, this is about, you know, life. This is about children and saving the children. And, you know, it was obviously heavy... Lee implied that it was, you know, God and religion, blah, blah, blah. But essentially, they're like, we're doing this for the kids, because these are lives and this is what's right. It's not about all these other things that we're all worried about. And now they're saying outright, oh, yeah, it's because we need a workforce. It's because we need laborers. We need people to be poor and stay poor so that they can work for us. So it's about ensuring a workforce. So he was saying, like, oh, we worry we don't have service workers, we don't have enough of this, we don't have enough people to do this. And he said that he thinks the reason is not just the low birth rate, but it's the number of abortions that have occurred. He just flat out said it.
The thing is, though, statistically, abortion rates, which, by the way, I know in Canada, they include miscarriage. They include everything. Everything that is defined as an abortion is what's included. I don't know if the states does the same inclusivity, but the stats have remained the same over, like, fairly even over, like, a couple decades, or since they started taking these stats. So it's bullshit that your decrease in workforce is because of abortion's even a factor. That's BS. Like, come on. It's just an excuse.
Yeah. That's what it is they're telling people what they know will get them riled up. They're telling people what they know that will get them to vote the way they want them to. But that's not what they actually give a shit about. It's about control. It's about power. It's about money. Of course it is. You're so naive if you think otherwise. But yeah, that's my notes. My rant for the day.
And I think at the end of the day, what we can urge everybody to do, no matter where you are in the world, is take an interest in your politics. Don't just vote based on what the rhetoric has been for 50 years. Actually go and look it up. There's every time there's an election in Canada, somebody puts together, it's a really handy quiz where you answer questions based on hot button issues, and it'll align you to the political party that has the most of what you said in the platform. I'm sure there's stuff like that in the States. I'm not saying you have to do like tens and hundreds of hours of research. There are really quick and easy ways that you can make your decisions or pick your stance or start your research journey type thing that won't impact your time too much, because I get it, we all don't have enough time, but it just really shows that it does matter who you vote in at every level. And just because one group is losing rights, though, the implications and precedents being set means anybody can lose their rights, and that's one day going to affect you. So if you're a selfish person and you don't like being altruistic, you know, recognize the steps before it comes to you, because you know, at that point it's too late and nobody's left to help you now.
That's a good way to put it. Just recognize the steps.
Yeah.
Steps are being taken. You and someone in your life in the U.S. is gonna be affected in some way. This is only the beginning. It's going to get worse if we don't put that protection back into place.
Mm-hmm. And for the love of God, please don't vote back in Trump. Jesus Christ. Can't believe we're having this conversation.
I would not be surprised if that's what happens. It's a distinct possibility.
I'm like, it's just like when I hear criticisms against our Prime Minister Trudeau, I'm like, look, I recognize the Liberal Party of Canada, that's the party he's head of, is more centrist than liberal or left-leaning. Well, they're centrist left-leaning. But the fact is, if they're centrist, the fact that anything right of that is acceptable is just disgusting to me.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Trudeau does not want to take away trans rights. Justin Trudeau does not want to take away women's rights, minority rights, doesn't want to make it harder for immigrants to come in who need to come in. Refugees, for example, in that group. Whereas Palliviere, the Conservative Party leader, the reason why in Canada you hear about the Liberals and the Conservatives so often is it tends to flip between them, but the NDPs are coming up, and I really do wish the Liberals and NDPs would just merge and then we could have a nice strong left to knock out the right. But anyway, he's gone on record saying some incredibly frightening things. And the thing is, he's not senile like Trump. He actually knows what he's saying.
He knows what he's doing.
I don't know if it's Trump being senile. I think Trump is just genuinely a dumbass.
I also think he believes his own lies.
He's a puppet. Trump is very much a puppet. Yeah. He's doing what he's being told to do. So he doesn't know the reason behind it, which is why he cannot ad lib and his speeches go off the rails and he says the most insane wacko shit. Is because he doesn't know the issues. He doesn't know. He only knows what he's being told to do.
Yeah, and it's scary. And that's why I'm just like, why Canadians aren't more scared about, you know, our federal Conservative Party leader coming up and the fact that there is a lot of anger at Justin Trudeau. Some of it justified, some of it unjustified. There's certain things that the Prime Minister can't even control, such as housing prices. I'm sorry, the Prime Minister, we do not have a style of government that can come in and cap housing prices. We do not have that style of government in Canada. You don't have that style of government in the States. but the fact that it's like Pelletier is being viewed as a viable option or even a better option is just disgusting to me. I view the Justin Trudeau as like a good measure of what your minimum standards should be. Like, people were going on about how he didn't know politics when he went into it. He grew up in one of the most political families in this nation. He grew up in the political eye when he was growing up. Well, his dad was prime minister of the country. He also worked as a teacher for 11 years, which is a public service career, which is more than I can say for a lot of conservatives who work in a lot of private sector and don't even know how stuff operates. And once again, he genuinely was trying to make government more accessible, more transparent, genuinely trying to do good things. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. There are criticisms he deserves, but the fact is that's bare minimum. And if we're picking less than that, that's horrifying to me. It's just like, what was it? Well, I can't possibly vote for Hillary Clinton. You mean between Clinton and Trump? Yeah. Clinton, the only one who is qualified for that job. Between the two of them, the only one who is qualified. You'd rather have Trump. Like, it just...
That's the thing that I was going to say is the problem is that Republicans are pretty unified on Trump. Obviously, there's people who don't like him who are Republican, but they're all gonna vote for him for the most part. Whereas Biden, a lot of people are like, well, no, fuck Biden. A lot of people being Democrats specifically are like, fuck Biden, we're not gonna vote for him. Well, great, then you're handing it to Trump. Yes, yeah. I don't like Biden. I don't think he's a good president. He's lied and not followed through on a lot of his promises, which they all do. But like, I'm completely on board with that. However, I will take Biden over Trump. If those are my two choices, I will take Biden over Trump. I don't like it. I don't want it to be Biden. But if that's the only option I'm given that's actually going to beat Trump, has the potential to do it, I will take it every day. So I think that's why it is very, very possible that Trump will be reelected, is because they are just more united on the Republican side in their fervor and insanity. They are more united than the Democrats. And it's because they have this cult mentality where they are his fanatics, they're supporters in an insane way. They view him as this powerful entity and not a public servant, which is what people in office are supposed to be. He's supposed to work for us, not the other way around. And that's where the disconnect is they're just blindingly supporting him no matter what he says and does. There's too much of that. No politician should have that level of support. Not a single one should have that level of support. Not a single politician should have fans. That's not how it's supposed to be. And then you get what we have now when people act that way.
It's not a sports game.
No, it's not.
Just like Brexit, when people woke up and were like, what the hell did we do? it's not a sports game, guys. There are consequences. But yeah. Well, happy International Women's Day, everybody. But this is just to show that, like, one thing that you might think is small and only has a tiny impact has waves that will affect you eventually. And this is why the second theme of this episode is, for the love of God, vote. Jesus Christ.
It can be work to do the research. It can be disheartening to know follow the news and know what's going on, but it's important and it affects you and the people you love personally. If it doesn't right now, it will, if things go unchecked and unchallenged.
Yeah, and it's by not voting, because I know this happened a few years ago. By not voting, you are not sticking it to the man. You yeah. are not proving a point. You're
keeping the status quo.
Yeah, you are maintaining status quo, and you're getting the opportunity to wash your hands of something that a lot of vulnerable people do not get to wash their hands of. And it's incredibly arrogant to do. If what you want, I know in Canada, there's this big push for voter reform. If you want voter reform, don't stop voting. Go join an activist group. Don't stop voting. Go help lobby for the reform. It's really selfish to just not vote, because there are people who are vulnerable than you, and they will be impacted by you not, you know, putting on your adult pants and picking someone to vote for. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. Yeah, just the bare minimum empathy. There also is, I won't get into this, but I'll say the cliff notes is, there is an argument to be made that the main thing that makes us human is our ability for complex empathy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's part of being human, y'all.
We're going to have to talk about vibrators next month or something.
Yeah, so. We totally are. You know what? Maybe we can find feminist vibrators or something like that.
What is a feminist vibrator?
I don't know, but I'm sure someone has it. Oh, you know what? Next episode, I will try and find some weird themed vibrators. And Shore can react to them.
I love that.
And yeah, weird themed vibrators and dildos. I don't want to be limited just to vibrators. We'll do vibrators and dildos.
Sounds good.
Because, to end on a light note, if you happen to be in This Guy Eli's server, there is a room called Mother Mary's Cauldron. And one of the things we like to collect in there is the library of very weirdly themed fleshlights. So,
I mean, most of them are just Photoshop, but it's unbelievably
funny.
Entertaining.
Oh,
it's a very not safe for work room.
Yes.
So be warned.
But yeah, if you're one of the listeners who's like, you know, one of This Guy Eli's patrons, and you know, you're feeling sad, mad, or anything like that, I invite you to go to this not safe for work room and, you know, just scroll up and look at our library. Which is why I don't
things in that room.
Yeah. If we do choose to do kind of a weird themed fleshlight review, we'll get This Guy Eli on.
Nice.
To, you know, give us the male perspective of these toys. The penis haver perspective, if you will.
You know what's funny is you usually have me ask him to be on an episode, and all I say is, Miri wants you on the next episode. And he's like, okay. That's all that goes into it.
Well, great. You know what? You know what? May is my birthday month. We'll do that. All of you are in for a treat in April. Yay! And May. It'll be our weird sex toy review of different themed toys.
That'll be fun. I think he'll enjoy that.
Yeah, and you know, I think it gives us a bit of a, because obviously we did some fun stuff leading up to this episode. Now we need to do some fun stuff after. So
palate cleanser.
Yeah, and then we'll get into the next hard hitting thing. That being said, I have to obligatorily say, hi, Jerry in Kazakhstan.
Hi, Jerry.
Love you. We love all our fans, but especially Jerry.
I don't remember what it was, but I saw or heard something that mentioned Kazakhstan, and my immediate thought was, that's where Jerry lives.
It's happened to me too. I'm like, oh, I hope Jerry's okay.
I know.
Well, on that note, y'all know our next few episodes planned. Moral of the story is vote even when it's hard. And, you know, happy International Women's Day. Hopefully you can do something, you know, go get yourself a sugary treat or something, because this was the hard hitting part of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any last words from you?
No.
All right, well, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Clam Jammers podcast. Check us out at clamjammers.ca for all your coven needs. Hello and welcome. Shut up, Grandpa!